Well, it's here, everyone. It is finally here. Cue up the Andy Williams. It is the most wonderful time of the year. Jacob Bunn, David Sears. It's the Jacob Bunn Show, and it's our football season edition. Right now would be a great time for a nice intro or something for our show, but unfortunately, we're so low budget.
See, if you would have told me that, I could have found one.
Yeah, well, see, it's not that. It's that the licensing companies really wouldn't appreciate that.
I can get that Hallelujah Chorus is not owned by anybody. We could buy that.
Anyway, we're ready to go at the first weekend of SEC, and of course college football starts mere minutes from now. South Carolina will get it kicked off and
at 6:30
Southern Miss.
2 hours and 8 minutes mark.
And we are gonna Sears and I are gonna week to week pick the games. As just to update you, Jacob Allison will be coming up a little later. He's gonna discuss recruiting with Sears and me, and I'm going to give you the full TV schedule, and then we're going to analyze the games. David and I are going to analyze the games each week, except for 1 week. We will not be here in 2 weeks from today. We will not have a show. Did you see, caught a little of Fox News before I left the house. Did you see that people are evacuating in North Carolina?
Because they're scared of Hurricane Earl.
Well, I knew Nick Saban had a big impact. The Alabama-Duke game is scheduled 3 weeks from today. Wanted to run through the headlines, though. Mark Ingram getting injured this week for Alabama. Jeremiah Masoli getting denied this week. And North Carolina is sitting players down right and left. What is going on with Butch Davis? And his clock is definitely ticking loudly in Chapel Hill.
As one Tom Luganville said, that is the best scout team ever assembled in the history of college football. It's just ridiculous. You've got all these allegations that supposedly it was his nanny that was writing the the papers for the players. You've got players dealing with agents. You've got so much stuff going on right now. It's just not a good situation. It's looking like those dreaded four words, lack of institutional control.
I think you're right.
And if you get that, that's when you're going to get slammed by the NCAA. And that, my friend, will be his second program that he's gotten slammed by the NCAA. Didn't he get Miami slammed?
Jeremiah Masoli was denied at Ole Miss this week. The NCAA simply said he cannot play this year. The NCAA is a complete joke. The NCAA has thrown its powder once again all different directions. It has no concept of treating a program normally. We're talking about Marcell Dareus. Still doesn't know whether he's going to be able to play for the San Jose State. Probably he's not going to play. But Marcell Dareus still doesn't know whether he's going to be able to play. And it's Thursday afternoon, and they're practicing for this weekend's game. Now, obviously, this is San Jose State, so it doesn't matter. But if this is Virginia Tech last year, and Marcell Dareus still doesn't know if he's going to play, I mean, that's utterly absurd. Wesley Saunders found out this week. And then, of course, Marvin Austin found out this week. No surprise there, but still. And then I think the king of them all is Jeremiah Masoli finding out Wednesday afternoon that he is not going to be eligible to play this coming season for the Ole Miss Rebels. I think that's highly unfair to him and highly unfair to Ole Miss. Tell him up front. Tell him before now. Don't drag your feet. If you're going to drag your feet this long, you might as well let him play.
I think he was doing it because he wanted to play football. He had broken the rules twice at Oregon, been dismissed from the football team. He argued that he had not been dismissed from the university, so he wasn't trying to circumvent discipline, but he was trying to get around the fact that he had been dismissed from the Oregon football team. He was not going to be able to play there. He was not going to be able to do anything there. He still wanted to use that one-year eligibility to try to prove he had character so he could go in the NFL draft. So he's going to have to sit out a year. He still has one-year eligibility left after this because he never redshirted. So he'll be back next year to play. He'll be able to be on scholarship next year after playing or being a walk-on for a year. It just hurts Houston not this year, but, I mean, next year he'll have Masoli for 1 year, and Masoli will hopefully stay out of trouble and not do the wacky tobacco or steal any more laptops, and we'll see what happens.
Should the NCAA, though, be enforcing team rules?
I think so. We need I heard that there is no uniform code of conduct in the NCAA argument, and I agree. There needs to be a uniform code of conduct. But until that occurs, you have to just interpret it. It's like the Supreme Court. We don't always agree with what they do, but it's up to their nine opinions, and that's it. So if they interpret something one way, even though we interpret another, then we're on the short end of the stick because it's their interpretation that rules.
Well, the NCAA has once again been completely distasteful to universities in the manner in which it has dealt with them. And the universities are getting frustrated with this. And yes, there is going to be retribution. I think the message is being sent is going to be sent loud and clear in the upcoming year and upcoming weeks that the NCAA needs to stop these kind of shenanigans.
It's an archaic organization. You look at it; it is not adapting to the modern times. It thinks that athletes are still amateurs instead of being basically the minor league system for the NBA and NFL, which it is.
Mark Ingram was injured on Monday afternoon in a practice. Had a meniscus. Is it a meniscus tear? Is that?
I've heard cartilage.
Cartilage. Oh, really? Okay. Cartilage tear. There, multiple people have.
Everybody has a different thing. All we know is that the swelling is not as bad as it could be, and he could return sooner than anticipated.
That's what we're hearing, and having had some people close to the situation, talk with some people close to the situation, saying that his outlook is very positive. His prognosis, you know, is very good, and 2 to 4 weeks is what we're hearing personally, and this is, again, just my personal opinion. I say Mark Ingram is on the field playing for the Alabama-Arkansas game. That's my personal prediction. We will see whether or not that comes to pass, but I think it could probably play by the Duke game, and I would not be surprised at all to see him on the practice field next week. Now, it would completely blow my mind if he was back for Penn State. That could happen, but I think realistically you're looking at the Arkansas game because Arkansas, David, is a game that Alabama needs to run the football. They need to pound Arkansas to keep their offense off of the field. So you're going to need that 1-2 punch with Mark Ingram and Trent Richardson.
Arkansas, to me, Alabama's owned them the past 2 years. They know how to defend that offense. No, don't laugh. It's true. They beat them 49-14 in Fayetteville 2 years ago. Then last year with Mallett, they beat them 35-7. So they've given up 21 points over 2 years. They know how to stop that passing game. Their offense, I mean, Alabama's offense, it's real simple. We're going to run the ball down your throat. You've got right. – If Ingram's not back, you've got Lacey, you've got Richardson, and you've got Goode. So you've got three big backs that can just pound away. The Bama is probably the deepest they've been at running back since the Bear Bryant era of wishbone offense. I mean, you can just pull one guy out, have a fresh guy every down if they wanted to. Now, Ingram is a lot better at doing lateral transition to run along the line to find that hole.
Sure.
Richardson likes to say, hey, I'm going to run you over. As evidenced by that amazing Arkansas run last year where he trucked six guys on the way to the end zone.
And the one against Texas, he just showcased his speed, too.
He's faster than Ingram, mm-hmm. but we'll see. I think Alabama just needs to play smart with Ingram. Plus, the longer he's out and taking less beating, that's going to be a fresher guy that comes in the middle of the season that can come out and just smack around some people for you.
The obvious question being asked around the country is, will it damage his chances to win the Heisman Trophy? Of course it will. I mean, you can miss a couple games. Now, if he's back for Penn State, I don't think it damages him at all. But if you miss a couple of games for Penn State, Duke, I do think it damages.
If he doesn't come back and he gets the final eight games, final nine games, mm-hmm. if he misses the first three, he puts up huge numbers against Arkansas, pones Florida, mm-hmm. and then just has an amazing season from there out, and he still manages to run for like 1,800 yards playing in only nine games, that's still putting up about 200 yards a game. So he'll be in consideration. He's Mark Ingram. But I think as I've read through interviews and seen him on TV, I think he's more concerned with the national championship than he is with another Heisman.
Right.
So the Bama fans, yes, they'd love to have the second person to ever repeat Heisman, be the Heisman winner. But I think Alabama fans, in a bigger scale, when you say, would you rather have the Heisman winner or would you rather be back-to-back national champs, they'll take the back-to-back national champs.
That's a tough one.
Really?
I think Alabama fans would rather have the Heisman. That's where it is right now. Biggest story of the week, really, was not Jeremiah Masoli. It was, in fact, Mark Ingram getting injured because, in the scheme of things, Ole Miss program right now, it really isn't relevant, and Alabama's program is at the top of the food chain. Okay, we're going to talk recruiting. Jacob Allison joins us. He is the host of Truett Insurance and Bonding Jocks Recruiting Central on WJOX in Birmingham. Jacob, thanks for
Nice job remembering the whole name of the show.
Well, you know, we try. one thing I wanted to get into, Alabama. Lately, they've had a movie about their head coach.
Mm-hmm.
They've had five straight days of ESPNU exposure. And then, of course, an hour-long special on ESPN, and it was on ABC this past week, and I saw Training Days, and who knows what else we missed.
Right.
Well, just what is the effect of that to a young recruit's mind?
Well, I think the big thing is they get to take a look inside the program at something that they wouldn't otherwise get to see. And especially, I think, for kids who haven't had a chance to come in on an official visit yet, where they do get to kind of see all of that kind of stuff. But, I think it gives them a good idea of, okay, this is the national champions, and this is how they go about their business. And, for some kids, maybe it's not what they want to be, but I think for most of them, and, certainly for at least a couple that we've heard say it, it's really speaks to them and says, yeah, that's what I want to do right there.
The SEC has been on the top of the landscape in the actual play on the field, but also in recruiting mm-hmm. the last few years. Do you see the SEC having continued success, or do you see a fall off?
I don't see a fall off per se. I mean, I think you do get to a point where you see some of these schools, like Alabama's and the Florida's, they get to a point, I think, where they're so stacked, a lot of the big-time kids may want to go somewhere where they can play. And, maybe they, go to a place, like a USC, where they're going to, be reeling in a couple of years, but they're going to eventually, because of their scholarship limitations, they're going to have a lot of spots to offer. So I think that's cyclical. Mm-hmm. I think what you saw from Florida a little bit over the last couple of years is a lot of those guys that form the core of their national championship teams, guys like Tebow and Spikes and all those,
sure.
Once that class was gone, well, there you go. That opens up a whole lot of spots for you to turn around and have a lot of playing time available. Alabama right now is in that spot where they don't have a lot of immediate playing time to offer at most positions. Obviously, at a couple there are. But in a couple of years, and maybe as soon as next year or the year after, when a lot of that core of the Julio Jones class and then the next class, the two back-to-back number one classes, when those guys start to move on, there's going to be some room opened up again. So it's going to be cyclical. I think the bottom line for the SEC is the talent base is so rich here because they've sure. got Florida. They've got Georgia's a very talented state. Louisiana, LSU pretty much has the borders, but Auburn's gone in there. Alabama's gone in there, gotten some guys. They can get into Texas. Occasionally they can pull some kids in from California or maybe pull them from up north somewhere. But with the talent base so rich down here, there's just so many players.
Mark Ingram won the Heisman last year, and it's hard to imagine that anything would give Alabama a recruiting boost considering the tradition Alabama has and the success of late. But do you think it actually may have had a small effect on recruiting, the fact that they see a player like Mark Ingram and the ability to win the Heisman?
Yeah, I think what it says to recruits, especially if you're a running back, is, whether Alabama's got a big-time running back there or not, I can go and I can still play because they found a way to have a Heisman Trophy-winning running back on the field. But they had another guy out there, too, that, ran for, what did Richardson run for, 700-something yards, mm-hmm. And became a superstar in his own right. So right. I think they see, there's room. Now, on the flip side of that, and we've heard some recruits say this a little bit, is that I think Alabama's going to need to demonstrate an ability to get the ball down the field and to maybe be a little bit more balanced on offense to show some moxie in the passing game because eventually you get to a point where receivers are kind of like, I'm not really sure. crazy about that. Auburn ran into that a few years ago where they, went through a rut where they had just a dearth of wide receivers. And I think a school like Florida right now, it might be seeing a little bit of that at the running back position because they just that offense – with Tebow running it, never demonstrated an ability to produce a superstar running back. Now that they've got John Brantley, maybe that changes. Alabama, I think we'll see this year, and certainly with Ingram being out for the first couple of games at least, that offense may have to do some different kind of things. We'll see how good they are at it.
This is probably a better question for your co-host, Justin Hokanson, but put yourself in the shoes of Gene Chizik and the Auburn Tigers. You have a really dominant in-state rival in Alabama, and, mm-hmm. and they, Alabama has pretty much its pick of whoever they want in the state. How do you combat that, and how do you try to find ways around that?
Well, I think they've done a good job of painting themselves and creating this this aura of the family of at Auburn we're a family, because at Alabama I think the pitch is a little bit more like, hey, we're in this to win it. It's mm-hmm. a business. This is an NFL franchise. We just happen to be wearing a college uniform and you just happen to not be getting paid. But they run it like an NFL franchise would. Whereas I think Auburn's trying to position themselves diametrically opposite of that. Sure. Now, is that going to appeal to all the recruits? Are all the recruits going to want that over what Alabama has to offer? Not necessarily, but are some? Sure. You know, and you know, some have taken that. You know, you look at you know, one example that stands out is a guy like Craig Sanders, who was committed to Alabama, mm-hmm. was an Alabama fan all his life, liked what Auburn had to sell, and switched. You know, a guy like Ladarius Owens considered Alabama very heavily despite the fact that he's an Auburn legacy. But ultimately, that part of that aspect that he was, you know, kind of a member of that family already, it won out. So that's, you know, that's going to win out some players. I think the Chizik and their staff have done a good job of positioning themselves that way. Now what they've got to do is they've got to go out and win and back it up. Because right. Now if they go out and they can't win, then all of that's going to, you know, maybe have a tendency to look a little bit silly.
Looking at Auburn right now, I tend to go by the ESPN 150 because that's what I'm partial to. Mm-hmm. They've got 15 commits, three from the ESPN 150, and they've got the highly recruited Keel Frazier. What can you tell us about Keel?
He's outstanding. Just absolutely tore it up. Played last Monday night. And I think we may have him on the show this Tuesday. He actually played. He played last Monday night and played this Monday night. If you can go ahead and find the highlights from the game, I think they're on YouTube. But he just, I mean, he absolutely went off. Had, I think, accounted for 7 touchdowns in the game. So, you know, another one of those guys. He's a dual threat guy, and I think, you know, we'll get to see if Auburn has that in Cameron Newton. I think that's mm-hmm. what they think they have. And you talk to a lot of Auburn people. Chris Todd, despite the fact that he played pretty well, didn't give them any kind of a dual threat last year. So with Cameron Newton bringing that aspect to Gus Malzahn's offense, you know, I think things have a tendency to change there. And I think that's kind of what they're going for with Keel Frazier as well. So,
it's Kyle.
Yeah, he says it Kyle. Interesting spelling, but that's what he says. But like I said, I think we may get a chance to talk to him on the show. He's playing Monday night, and they're playing one of the big programs in Texas in Cowboy Stadium. So he'll be on a big stage that's on national TV. So you'll get a chance to see him.
Cool. Finally, Jacob, a couple months ago, of course, we had the big agent debacle, and Nick Saban and Urban Meyer both, for a temporary period, closed practice to pro scouts. Is that going to affect negatively their programs as far as recruiting?
No, I don't think so. You know, I think if that were something that was long term, you know, I think some kids might stop and look at that. But I think, yeah, I think that's one of those things that's an easy sell. And I think maybe that's a little bit of why Nick Saban kind of, I don't want to say he changed his tune because he said it from the beginning. But what he said was, you know, we didn't want the scouts watching our players when it's 150 degrees outside and, you know, they're you know, throwing up all over themselves or what, you know, whatever was going on. Obviously, it was, you know, I mean, we all lived through it. It was it was a tough month or so there with the temperatures. And he said he didn't want to watch it. Now, you know, was that the only reason? Did the agents thing play a part in it too? Sure, it did. But, you know, it wasn't a long-term thing. I don't think recruiting-wise it's any kind of an issue.
All right, Jacob Allison, co-host of Truett Insurance and Bonding, Jocks Recruiting Central. You can hear that on WJOX in Birmingham, Tuesdays at 7 Central. Thanks, Jacob.
Thank you.
Good stuff there from Jacob Allison, recruiting analyst. Well, we're simply running out of time here. From the first week, it's always so crammed. You have so much to talk about. My most intriguing matchup of the week, a program from the Big East that could possibly have a shot to win the Big East title in football, not basketball, against a man coaching a team who simply has to win every game this year to stay. And even that might not keep him the way some tensions are toward him in Ann Arbor. And that, of course, is UConn playing at Michigan in the Big House, 2:30 Saturday on ABC. That's my most intriguing matchup of the week, the one I want to watch the most.
You have to go with the Monday Nighter for me. That Votek-Boise State game. Man. Is Boise State for real? We will find out because this is going to work against them because they're playing in the South with a ton of humidity. They're playing at essentially a home game for the Virginia Tech Hokies. And I just think that we'll find out a lot about both programs. I think Votek is a legitimate national title threat. So we'll see what happens.
Wow. Way to go out on a limb there, Sears. Upset alert. This week it's tough to find because you have so many games with the top of the food chain playing the absolute bottom. And you know they're going to roll over teams one by one. And the game, I think, has the most chance of being an upset. And, again, Purdue and Notre Dame, I think Purdue will win the game, but that's not an upset. I think Miami of Ohio is going to give Florida trouble.
Wow.
That is my upset alert. Now, again, upset doesn't mean they necessarily have to win, but, I mean, who's going to give the most trouble to the big dogs?
My upset alert is based on point spread. I don't see how in the world this is possible. Michigan is a 3-point favorite over UConn. And I am taking the UConn Huskies to win in the Big House over the Michigan Wolverines, and we'll get the Rich Rod exit train going.
I think you're right. I think there's, like I said earlier, time is running out for Rich Rod, and maybe he and Butch Davis can have a meeting sometime soon. Okay, predictions, and we will keep up with these. I don't think there's going to be any surprises really this week. Southern Miss, South Carolina, of course. By the time you listen to this, because it probably will not be up till Friday, so this game is probably a moot point to pick anyway. We'll probably know the winner.
I will say South Carolina, but they do not cover.
Really?
I think Southern Miss will give them some difficulties on defense.
Having said what I said earlier, Florida's still going to beat Miami of Ohio.
I see the Gators winning.
Louisiana Lafayette travels to Sanford Stadium. That's a 11-21 kickoff on the SEC Network and ESPN3.com. What say you?
Let me see those Ugga Bulldogs.
Absolutely. Since it's radio, we won't put on any mascot heads.
We need little visuals.
On BunSports.com. Kentucky, the Wildcats playing at Louisville, 2:30 Saturday on ABC. Interesting game.
Give me Big Blue.
Yeah, I'm going to take Kentucky, but as I predicted on the website, I think it's going to be a touchdown, maybe less kind of game. Jacksonville State playing at Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, but it will not be pretty.
No, that's not a game. Well, the defending national champions, Alabama Crimson Tide, at 6 o'clock Central Saturday night, will play host to the Spartans of San Jose State. They give them a warm Tuscaloosa welcome. How bad is it going to be?
I think Bama drops about 50 on them.
Really? 50? Wow. Tennessee Tech at Arkansas. Do the Hogs have any trouble with Tennessee Tech?
No. No trouble whatsoever.
I do think this team is going to have trouble. And, you know, actually, this may be a co-upset alert if you want to. I had forgotten about this one. Tennessee Martin at Tennessee. Look out for the Tennessee Martin.
The fight and Derek Dooley's will get it done.
You think so? All right, no problem with UT Martin. Well, I'm picking Tennessee as well. Memphis playing at Mississippi State.
Give me Dan Mullen. I think that Mississippi State is going to be a much improved team from last year. Look out for them to knock off a couple of big people this year. I really think they could finish in the top three of the SEC West.
Is Auburn Arkansas State?
Auburn.
Yeah, are they looking ahead to that Thursday night matchup with?
I don't think they will be looking ahead to the Thursday night matchup. We'll see if Cam Newton's for real, though, against a JV.
That's true.
Defense.
Northwestern, I'm taking the Wildcats to beat Vanderbilt. I just don't think this is going to be Vanderbilt's year, considering the number of true freshmen.
It's getting
starting.
Time to kick Vandy out of the SEC and bring in Louisville.
So you say Northwestern.
I say Northwestern.
And then the as close to pick'em game as you can have this week, although it's gone up in flames also. Saturday night, LSU playing North Carolina.
You have to love Les Miles' luck. This was going to be one of the big season-setting tempo games. And what happens? North Carolina is having to sit 16 players. You got to like LSU's chances with that. I say LSU wins it all.
Well, it should be a great weekend of college football. We will see you next week as we get ready for the big historic matchup between Alabama and Penn State. Until then, enjoy the weekend of great college football. South Carolina and Southern Miss kick off 96 minutes from right now.